Our theme today is going to be Chayrus, freedom. And so to explore this Pesach theme together, let's begin with a section of the Haggadah for the first of four questions, because if we're doing a Pesach discussion, what better way to frame it than four questions? So if you could see, if you have your source packets in front of you, your Mar Makomos, your source sheets, great. If not, don't worry about it. I'll read it out for you. It went out by email last night. To those who are on this list. If you're not on the list and you'd like to join on Sunday mornings, Emir Tzashem, we're going to get back together in person very soon. Bekarov, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send us Yeshua from this crazy Magefa. He should be matzal all of us, give refuah shleima to all the cholim. So if you want to give some feedback or join the regular weekly list, just send me an email. We're going to begin our first question. I see a bunch of people are just joining. Welcome, everybody. I wish I could see you. I wish I could be with you in person. So let's share the Torah. The Torah will connect our neshamas. So the first source, we have a section from the Haggadah that's probably familiar to you. It is the introduction to the Haggadah. It's not part of the original Haggadah that existed in the Mishnah. It's a passage that's written in Aramaic, which has specific reasons for that, not for today's discussion. Ha'lach ma'anya. This is the poor man's bread, or as some people sing, Ha'lach ma'anya di'achol avosana. This is the poor man's bread that our fathers ate, Ba'ara de Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt. Kol dichvin, kafna means a hunger. Kol dichvin, anybody who's hungry, yese v'yechol, should come and eat. Kol ditzrich, anybody who needs, yese v'yifsach, should come and participate in the Korban Pesach. So that's a question, how you can invite somebody to the Korban Pesach on the night of the Seder. You're only allowed to invite people to the Korban Pesach if they were signed up in advance. Okay, I have to figure that out a different time. So here's the key line I wanted to focus on together. Hashta, hashata hacha. Now we are here. Here being written in Aramaic means in Bavel or in Chicago, Skokie, wherever we are. Lishana haba ba'arat Yisrael. Next year, we will be, please God, in the land of Israel. Hashata avdei. Now we are avodim. Lishana haba, next year, b'nei chorin. Next year we're going to be b'nei chorin. So I want to understand something. Tonight, or the night of the Seder, I should say, imagine that we're sitting at our Seder tables. Everybody should be well and celebrate the Seder with as much simcha, as much joy, even if it's not going to be the usual Seder for them. They're not their usual arrangement. But the night of the Seder, we are B'nai Chorin. We are free people. That's why we have Heseba. That's why we lean. That's why we drink Dalet Kosos. The Rambam says that Dalet Kosos and Heseba are an expression of Chayrus. So if the night of the Seder is the night of Chayrus, of freedom, so why is that we're saying Hashata Avdi, now we are Avadim? Not Avadim. We're B'nai Chorin. So maybe you'll tell me the truth is it's possible to say that Hashata Avdi means at the beginning of the Seder. The beginning of the Seder, we are Avodim. But by the end of the Seder, because Chai Avodim Liros Esatzim Ki'ilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim, we have to see ourselves as if we left Egypt. So it's true at the beginning of Magid, Avodim Ayinu, we're still slaves. But by the time we get to the end, Vayotzienu, then by Hallel, we're free. Okay, but I don't think that's the pshat of this line. So I'm trying to figure out, what does it mean that at the night of the Seder, we are on the one hand, B'nai Chorin, on the other hand, we are still referred to as Hashata Avdi. That's issue number one. Issue number two comes from Parshas Bo. The night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, this magical night of destiny that the Jewish people experienced in Egypt, is introduced to them in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis in Shmos. Vayomer Hashem Moshe ve'el Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor ha'chodesh hazeh lochem rosh chodeshim. This is Rosh Chodesh, and you should prepare for Pesach by taking the Korban Pesach on the 10th. It's called Mikro Mi Ba'asar. Moshe Rabbeinu receives the laws of the Korban Pesach here in Perek Yud Beis. If you have a Chumash handy, you can turn to it. If you don't have a Chumash, you can go online. You can check on safaria.org, or you can look on Machon Mamre, whatever it is, or you could just follow listen out loud. The Chumash gives us in Perek Yud Beis all of the laws of Korban Pesach. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, toward the end of Perek Yud Beis, after he is taught the laws of the Korban Pesach, and the laws of matzah, he then is told, get he teaches it to the elders, Vayikra Moshe l'chol zikne Yisrael, and he tells them, Mishchu chulachem tzon. So go gather the sheep for yourselves, make sure you learn how to put the blood on the doorposts, and then, Pasuk Chavtes, Vayihi b'chatzi halayla. It was at the stroke of midnight, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hits all of the Bechorim. So we are instructed in the beginning of the parak, prepare for the Korban Pesach. The Pasuk says, they did this, Vayilchu Vayasu, comes Vayihi b'chatzi halayla, and the Bnei Yisrael did everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them chen, they borrowed stuff, they asked stuff from people, and they went from Sukkos to Ramses. They left that night. Well, they began leaving that night. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in the end of Parakit Beis, Leil Shimur Mula Hashem Lohotziyam Meretz Mitzrayim. This is the night of watching. And then Moshe Rabbeinu and Pasuk Mem Gimel is given more laws related to the Korban Pesach. Zos Chukas HaPasach Kol Ben Necha Lo Yochal Bo. No alien person should eat from it. A person who didn't have a bris milah shouldn't eat from it. Vayihi Be'etzim Hayom Hazeh Hotzi Hashem Es Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim Al Tzivosam. Last Pasuk, 51, in Parakeet Beis, one of the most dramatic, key, landmark Pesukim in the entire Torah, the change of the trajectory of the future of the Jewish people, we leave Egypt, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. What is the next Pasuk? The beginning, after the next little paragraph break in the Chumash, there are paragraph breaks, little sections to take a breath, Vayidabra Hashem Moshe Lema, and it's on your source sheet. What would you expect is going to be the next Pasuk? Well, in Parakeet Gimel, we are told HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring us to the land, and we're going to observe this Chag HaMatzos, and we're going to eat matzah for 7 days, and it's going to be a remembrance for us. Yes, it will. But what are we told? Pasuk Beis, Kadesh li kol b'chor peter kol rechem b'vnei Yisrael. It's on your source page. Ba'adam v'vehema lihu. To sanctify the b'choros, the firstborns of the Jews, of the animals, it's for me. In the middle of everything, one mitzvah for you to remember in the context of Yitzias Mitzrayim, because in Pasuk Gimel it says, "Vayomer Moshe Elohim, Zachor Hayom Hazeh Asher Yitzasim Mitzrayim Beis Avodim." Remember this day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. Hayom Atem Yotzim B'Chodesh Aviv. And then we're told, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us to the land we eat matzah, and we're going to wear tefillin to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. Of course, we're going to wear tefillin. Tefillin is that daily reminder. B'yad Chazak of Zro Netuya. And then the next pasuk in the end of Parakeet Gimel again, talking about the mitzvah of Bechor, in this case it's Vahavarta kol pecha rechem l'Hashem kol peter sheger behema. This relates to peter, next pasuk, peter chamor. Wow, is that unusual? You're going to do a mitzvah with a chamor. A chamor is a non-kosher animal. So yes, there is the mitzvah of peter rechem when it comes to a person, a firstborn male child. We refer to that as pidyon haben. There is the mitzvah of Bechor, of a kosher animal, a behema tahora, which becomes a karban. And then there's a third mitzvah, which is included here, of peter chamor, that if you don't redeem it, you're supposed to cut the neck off of it, va'arafto v'chol bechor, adam bevonecha tivde as well. And when your child is going to ask one day, mazos, what is this strange mitzvah? It's a behema tamea. He's going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, and he killed all the bechoros of Egypt. What is going on over here? Why are these mitzvos of Peter Chamor, so significant that they're placed right in the middle of the narrative and the mitzvos of Yitzias Mitzrayim? So you will tell me, of course they belong here, because these mitzvos about the firstborn are parallel to Makas Bechoros, which had the effect on the firstborn. So that's true. So I want to understand, why is that so central? Do we have any mitzvos that are surrounding Makas Arov, the plague of the wild beasts? Do we have any mitzvos that are surrounding Makas Kinim, the lice? You know, maybe we had this year in our house, actually. We had a shtickle maka of Kinim. Unfortunately, we had some lice in our house. but we didn't have any mitzvahs. We just had to get the lice people to get the lice out of our house. It was crazy, upside down. I never had an appreciation for makas kinim until we had this makkah. But why is it? Is it just because makas bechoris is the last makkah, or is it because there is something fundamental about makas bechoros that we need to remember? So that's issue number two. Issue number one, the story with Halach Ma'anya Hashata Avdi. Issue number two is Makas Bechoros. Here's issue number three. A Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Mishnah tells us Pirkei Avos. You have it in front of you. It's in source number two. This Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he says, this is in the last parak of Pirkei Avos, which means it's not actually a Mishnah. The last parak of Pirkei Avos is a collection of other sayings from the period of the Mishnah, referred to as the Brice of Kinyan Torah, but it's included in the Mishnayah so that we have 6 full weeks from Pesach to Shavuot, so we have some ethical teachings, and it's focused primarily on Torah. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Baskol Yotzeis Mehar Chorev, a Baskol, which means the heavenly voice, goes from Har Chorev, Har Sinai, Umachrezes Veomeres, and it announces and it says, Oy lahem lebrios me albona shel Torah. Woe is it to the brios, to the creatures, to human beings, from the shame of Torah. Shekomi she'ina osik b'Torah. Anybody who doesn't study Torah, anybody who doesn't literally means isn't involved in Torah, not just study Torah, nikra nazuf. Nazuf. What does the word nazuf mean? Well, literally it means to be rejected. So nazuf, well, let's say if you go in the Morphix English Hebrew dictionary, they translate nazuf as rebuked, censured, reprimanded, called nazuf. So somebody who doesn't engage in Torah study, and Baruch Hashem, look at us, we're getting together, starting our week Sunday morning, virtually together. We're studying Torah, because otherwise we are called nazuf. Why? Why is that person rebuked? So it quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. Strange, strange pasuk. Nezem zahav ba'af chazir. A gold ring, meaning a nose ring, in the nose of a chazir, a pig. Isha yafa, a beautiful woman, v'saras tam. But no tam, literally no taste, or foul affect. What does this pasuk have to do with the fact that the person isn't involved in Torah? The nezem zahav ba'af chazir. I would have said, a person who's not learning Torah is missing out on Olam Haba, is missing out on their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it this unusual image? And then we go further. V'omer! If that wasn't enough to convince you, I'll give you a pasuk. V'haluchos, Maise Elokim Hema. The luchos, the tablets that we were given at Har Sinai, this is later in Shemos, this is in Parshas Kisisa, they were, the first luchos, they were literally fashioned from the substance that was a divine substance, a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hamichtav, and the writing on it was also Michtav Elokim. Originally, the substance, the stuff of the luchos, was divine. When we had to repeat it, the second luchos, that was stuff which most Rabbeinu had to hew out from a rock. Here's the key line. Chorus ala luchos. The words were engraved, they were charus, they were dug out on the luchos. Al tikri chorus, don't read it as engraved, dug out, ela chorus, freedom. She'in lecha ben chorin, ela misha ozik b'talmud Torah. A person is not free unless they are engaged in Talmud Torah. So what does this have to do with the shame of not being involved in Torah and the Nezem Zahav Ba'av Chazir? And how do you even learn this drasha? Because the Luchos, which had the Torah on them, they were engraved, and the word Chorus sounds like the word Chorus. So that teaches you that to be free, you have to be engaged in the Luchos. Is that just a play on words? Or is it something more substantive? That's issue number three. Issue number four. There is a medrash. You see it here on the source. This medrash Tehillim, it's at the beginning of Hallel. Halleluka, hallelu avde Hashem, hallelu Hashem Hashem. If you look, let's open the Tanakh. If you look in this section of Tehillim, this is in a section of Tehillim that we refer to as Hallel. It begins in Kuf Yud Gimel, and it concludes in Kuf Yud Ches, with the Hodol Hashem Ki Tov Ki Lelam Chasdo. So it's a series of mizmorim that we're going to sing as a unit that we call Hallel. And it begins with this opening line, Kuf Yud Gimel. I think it got cut off in the Mar Makomos here, the Mizmor, Kuf Yud Gimel. It's not Kuf Yud, it's Kuf Yud Gimel. Hallelu kahalu es avdei Hashem, hallelu es Hashem Hashem, Yishem Hashem Mevoruch Me'ato Ve'ar Olam. And that begins this sequence of the section that we call Hallel. But the truth is, there is actually a Halleluka before this. That's Kuf Yud Beis, but that's not included in what we call Hallel. So this opening phrase of Hallelu avdei Hashem, what does it mean to be Avde Hashem? So there, I cut out most of this medrash, but the medrash Tehillim says in the conclusion that we sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'u so halayla, here you have just the last line, Shega'altanu, that night that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, redeemed us. If you could see it, it's on the bottom of the first page of the source, the two pages. Ba'u so halayla Shega'altanu, that night that you redeemed us, Votzei Sonu Milcheirus, and that you took us out to freedom, Shehayinu avodim lefaro, we were slaves to Paro, v'ga'altanu, and you redeemed us, v'asisanu, and you transformed us, you made us, l'cha to you la'avodim, for you, for slaves. L'kach nema, that's why it says in the Pasuk, hallelu avdei Hashem, praiseworthy are you. Who is going to praise you? Hallelujah, you are praiseworthy. Hallelu Avdei Hashem. The Avdei Hashem, the servants of God. Excuse me one second. Excuse me. V'lo Avdei Paro. We are no longer Avdei Paro. We are referred to as Avdei Hashem, and therefore we praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here's my question. Tonight, the night of the Seder, this magical night, we say, we were taken out, Chazal referred to it as Chayrus Olam, eternal freedom. We are B'nei Chorin, we are free people. But that's a misnomer. We're not actually free people, because we are still Avdei Hashem. So why is it that we keep talking about the Seder night as a night of Chayrus, Zman Chayrusenu? We're not actually B'nei Chorin, we're just free from Avdei Paro, but now we're Avdei Hashem. So how do we understand being B'nei Chorin and being Avdei Hashem? Are those compatible? Are they synonymous? How do we understand this? So to think about this, one way to frame this discussion is to slide down on your Mar Makomos page, and you have here a passage from Rav Kook. Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, great picture if you could see it in front of you, and you see the turn of the 20th century vehicle driving behind that puts you in the context. Rav Kook passed away in 1935. Rav Kook actually speaks about Chayrus and Avdus in multiple places. So one place is in the Haggadah of Rav Kook in Inyanei Pesach. So this sefer that I'm holding in front of me, this is called Olas Raya, the Siddur of Rav Kook, and in here includes the Haggadah. It's a selection of likutim, of passages of Rav Kook. And in the beginning of the section on Pesach, he talks about Chayrus and Bir Chametz. In addition, in the Igros, in the letters of Rav Kook, and this is really for a different time, but it's really quite a fascinating discussion, Rav Kook talks about, in general, the phenomenon of slavery and servitude and freedom in the context of the emancipation of slaves. Rav Kook is living, he's born in 1866, so he's living after Abraham Lincoln emancipated the slaves, but he's writing at a time where slavery is becoming, you know, not acceptable socially, and he's thinking about that in terms of the context of slavery as it's referred to in the Chumash. So he has two letters to a fellow by the name of Moshe Zeidel about the idea of slavery and the application of slavery and how the Torah views freedom and servitude. So Rav Kook has multiple places where he addresses this. What you have on the page in front of you is a selection from works called Ma'amarei HaReiya, the Ma'amarim, the statements of Rav Kook. In the volume, it's on page 157, and here is a section of Ma'amarim, of statements, of teachings that Rav Kook delivered on Shabbos and Yontif. So it's a sequence. Some of these selections were actually excerpted and put into the Haggadah. So if you open the Rav Kook Haggadah Shel Pesach, you will find some of these words, but not the full text, because they didn't bring everything. They kind of condensed it. Here you get a full section of this passage of Ma'amarei HaReiya on the concept of chayrus. So Rav Kook, here we're going to focus in on this one line here. Rav Kook says, this one paragraph, Ha-hevdel shebein ha-eved u-ben ha-chorin, the difference between the eved, the servant, v'ha-bencho u-ben chorin, and a free person. Just one second, finding it here. Here it is. Ha-hevdel, you see it on the page top line. Ha-hevdel, the difference. Shebein ha-eved u-ben ha-chorin, and the free person. Einenu rak hevdel ma'amadi. It is not just a difference. Ma'amad means status. It's not just a difference in a ma'amad and status. Ma shebimikre, that which is, happens to be, so to speak, occurrence. It happens to be ze hu mishubad la'acher. This person is enslaved to one other person. Vezehu bilti mishubad, and this person is free. Rather, says Rav Kook, ani yacholim limtso eved. We can find a servant, a slave, who is maskil, who literally maskil means intellectual, thoughtful, mindfully engaged. That is maskil. Sherucho hu mole cheirus, that his spirit is full of cheirus. Rav Kook says you can have a person who is literally enslaved, but he's the spirit of a free person. Ula hepach, and the opposite, ben chorin, a seemingly free person. Sherucho hu ruach shel eved, that his spirit is the spirit of an eved, a slave. So says Rav Kook, what is chayrus? And this is what he talks about in the previous paragraph where he kind of beats the drum a little bit, says the drum roll. Says Rav Kook, he says, hachayrus hatzivyonis, the quality of freedom, hi osa haruach hanisa, is that elevated spirit, Shehaadam v'chein ha'am b'chlolo misromim al yada, that the nation and the individual and the nation are misromim, are elevated through it. Lihyos, here's the key line, ne'eman, true, l'ha'atzmius ha'pnimis shelo, the person's inner essential self. Atzmi, like independence, atzma'ut, atzmi, essence, to my inner essence. He says true freedom is that feeling, that sense, that quality of life in which a person, and of course Rav Kook is very much aware and sensitive to and accents the national quality, that the qualities that we have as individuals is also a set of qualities that applies to the nation, that elevates us to be true to our inner selves. Lahatchuna hanafshis, to the personal spiritual quality, shel tzelem elokim, of a tzelem elokim asher bekirbo, of the inner image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that every human being is created in the image of God, which means that our true essence is that reflection of the divine. Ubitchuna, hakazos. And with this quality, efshar lo lahargish es chayav, a person can feel their life, b'tor chayim magamatiim. Megama means a telos, a goal. A person that feels that their life, their goal, is shavim es erkam, is worth living, has value. Masha'in king b'bal haruach shala avdus. As opposed to somebody who has a spirit of slavery, of as an eved, shaliolam, that always ain tochen chayav hargasho so meurim betchunas nafshis ha'atzmis. It is lacking. It's not filled with a spirit and a feeling of a sense of self, of what's my identity. Rather, ki im b'mashu yafeh v'tov etzel ha'acher hasholet olav eza shlita shehi. Rather, that person feels a sense of being encumbered, being ruled over. They don't have their own identity to decide what's nice and what's beautiful and what's appropriate for them. Rather, that's being decided by someone else who rules over them. Whatever that shlita is, bein shehu rishmis, bein shehu musaris, whether that is formal or emotional, b'masha oso ha'acher, that what that other person won't say, shu yafe v'shehu tov, what that person defined as nice and good, rather than what I find. Ah. Before we do the second paragraph, now we can reflect. Rav Kook says, wait a second. What it means to be free is to mean to be true to yourself. So the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, the Pasuk says. The Gemara has a drasha, avodayim v'lo avodim la'avodim. That means, says the Gemara, that a poel, somebody who's in the middle of work, somebody who's doing a job, yochol lachzor bo b'chatzi hayom. They have the ability, the right, the halachic license to quit in the middle of the day. Doesn't mean they don't have responsibility for somebody to pay for somebody else to finish the job. It doesn't mean that that's a nice thing to do. But legally, poel yochol lachzor bo afilu b'chatzi hayom. Why? The answer is because the Gemara says, avodim, who are slaves, who are people who are fixed, only avdei Hashem. Lo avodim la avodim. A person who is, let's say, in the middle of a job as a bricklayer, they can pick up and say, you know what? This pursuit, it's not me. It's not me. That's not my inner soul. And I'm not meshubad to anybody else. I am a ben chorin, and I can decide that this is not going to be my life's work. You know, in Israel, in Artzeinu HaKadosha, you find this a lot. It's an amazing thing. We went with our family, Baruch Hashem, and we had that opportunity to go. So we went to an incredible thing. I highly recommend it. It was fascinating. We went to the Seidel Bakery, which is in Carnei Shomron. It's in a beautiful neighborhood in their house. The Seidels, they set up a bakery, and he told us that he used to be in high tech, and he decided he's going to follow his passion, he's going to do baking. So he created Machon Lechem Aponim, Machon Breads of the Beis HaMikdash. You can go there. We went with all of our children, and they all enjoyed it, from the oldest to the youngest, high school to the preschool. Amazing, a three-hour workshop on the breads of the Beis HaMikdash. Because he decided that wasn't his atzmius, that wasn't his essential neshama. So on an employment level, a person can poel yochol lachzor bo afilu b'chatzi hayom. I could say that's not what I want to do. That's on a physical level, and that's why the word chorin, bnei chorin, is lashon of mechurarin, charar. If you look in the Gemara Maseches Ksubas Daf Nun Aleph and other places has this phrase. You can be gova. You can collect min ha mechurarin. What are mechurarin? You have two kinds of objects. Let's say you have a home, and your home has a mortgage on it. So that lien is, it's holding on to, it means that your house is not totally yours. It's also mishubad, it is enslaved, so to speak, it is indebted to the mortgage holder, to the person who has the loan, to the company that carries the mortgage. Mechurarin are property that have no lien. They're not meshubah to anything. B'nei Chorin means we're not meshubah to anybody else. And Rav Kook says that's true on a physical level, that I could do whatever work suits me. And Eved can't decide what they want to work today. They have to be following whatever work the Adon, the master, gives them. So in that respect, they are not B'nei Chorin. B'nei Chorin means they could do whatever they want. A poel can be chozer be'em tzayom. But Rav Kook says really it means on a level of musar, on a spiritual level. It means that when a person has a passion and society tells them, no, that's not a good thing to do, if they say, oh, you know what, I have to do whatever society tells me. So that person is not a Ben Chorin either. Because instead of doing what is true to their essential self, they do what society tells them. There is an amazing person who I know, I don't want to give away too many names here, who started college and said, ah, you know, they want to be a dentist. That's really, it speaks to them in the way that they can relate to people and help people. And then, when they started, a friend of theirs and people in their environment said to them, what do you want to be a dentist for? You want to move to Israel? You want to go into computers? That's the best place to put your energies. You want to go into computers. So this person, this student, who marched into the academic office and said, you know what, instead of going for dentistry, I'm going to go into computers that relates to finance, something in what we can call the Cy Sim School of Business, what they used to call the degree in MIS. And then this person, very amazing and talented person, wonderful person, finished all of school in the Cy Sims Business School in Stern College and decided, you know what, actually, I did want to become a dentist. And listening to what the society was telling me that I should become, you know, something else, that wasn't true to my essence. My mission, my calling in this world, the Rebbe Shlomo put me here to help people in a very specific way as it relates to dentistry. So this, Baruch Hashem, this very, very talented person who I happened to start meeting around this time, decided they were going to go back to school for another year to do all of their sciences in that one year. Just knock them all out at once while dating. I'll just say it was a very busy time for this person. But that was an example of a story of someone who, you know, Baruch Hashem, capable of doing many different things, but really had a vision inside for themselves of what their place in the world, what their vocation was going to be. And ultimately, they came back to it, but they were digressed for a little while because of what society was telling them and what their friends were telling them, what the academic advisement was telling them, whatever any other people were telling them. To be a Ben Chorin means to be spiritually, emotionally emancipated from everybody else and just doing what is you, being true to yourself. Sometimes you read stories about people who have these wild career changes. It's not just because the work that they're doing is not true to themselves, it's because their mission, their calling, is finally shining through. I have an interesting parable. It's called The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. It's a very interesting book. It's a parable about, you know, slowing down life and figuring out what's really important, what's true to ourselves. So it's true on a physical level in terms of the work that we do, but of course, on a deeper level, on a truer level, it's true in terms of the decisions that we make in life, the pursuits that we follow, the path that we take. Is it the inner path that is pertinent to us, that is resonant with us, or is it somebody else's path that they gave us, they told us? On a spiritual level, this is the pshat, which is that Rav Kook is telling us every person has that inner spiritual quality. What is that? Our tzelem Elokim, our neshama. That's what we have. And that is our true self. So what does it mean now to be a Ben Chorin? It means to be true to yourself. To be true to yourself means to be an expression of your neshama. To be an expression of the Tzelem Elokim. Says Rav Kook, let's go back to the next paragraph. Says Rav Kook here in the third line, this is what it means, it's the end of the second line, Ruach shel hakara atzmis pnimis, a recognition of our inner self, which is our neshama, that's our soul. Charos ala luchos, engraved on the luchos, al tikri charos ala cheres. He quotes that Mishnah. Lule zosamatana to flow shalonu, shinitna lunameos base, say senu lecheris olumiad paramelach mitzraim, lule zos, hoysa golos, yeholo lahafo, ruchenu bekirbenu leruch shalavadim. Had we not been given this inner essential Torah that becomes our identity, maybe we would remain avadim. But this gift is essential to us. The Torah that we've gotten is a Ben Chorin that is connected to our neshama. So now I understand very well, according to Rav Kook, why it's referred to as charis. Because a person can take a piece of paper. Here's my notes. You have a paper with ink on it. The ink is not part of the paper. It's paper with ink. But when you engrave, the engraving becomes part and parcel of the stone itself. The Torah is not ink on paper. The Torah is charis. It's engraved. It's who we are. It's our identity. It's an expression of our neshama. It's Yisrael v'oraisu v'kutshabrichu charu. It's the oneness of us and Hashem and this expression of godliness called Torah. That is our essential self. When we are osik b'Torah, we are in touch with our essential self, with the spark of godliness, with the expression of godliness within. That's why we are called B'nei Chorin, because when we are in the spiritual light of Torah, we are truly free. Why? Because we're tapping into our essence, to our self. That's why it's perfectly a fit of the charus meaning the engraved, and that's why the first part of that Mishnah said, Nezem Zahav Ba'av Chazir. What do you mean? It's a ring that's on a pig, meaning there's something that's not appropriate, it's not fitting. A person who's not learning Torah, it's not fitting because the Torah is themselves. Our inner essential self is a soul, is an expression of Torah, of godliness, of that spiritual light. So it's like so off. Someone who's not learning Torah, it's like a pig wearing a ring. It just doesn't fit. A pig belongs in mud, and a ring belongs to a beautiful woman. That's exactly what the Mishnah is telling us, that when we are in Torah, we are B'nei Chorin because we are ourselves. So that's what we were given when we left Mitzrayim. We were given this opportunity to become free in the sense of B'nei Chorin, of people who are in touch with our spiritual selves, with our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. So yes, we are Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on the other hand, that avdus to Hashem really is the ultimate chayrus. So when we say we are avdi Hashem, that's not a stira, it's not a contradiction to being avadim, to being b'nei chorin. Avdi Hashem is b'nei chorin. But I think if we could take it just a few more minutes, we can understand something deeper. Because if this is where we left it, that we are B'nai Chorin because we are connected to our soul. Our soul is our essential self. That is our charos, that's our cheros. So as spiritual beings, we are free from the shackles of Egypt, from society, from all of the distractions of Olam Hazeh, to be our spiritual selves. And therefore, to being an Eved of Hashem is the ultimate cheros. Yes, but there's more. Because what happened on the night of the Seder? On the night of the Seder, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not just take us out as his Avadim. We did not just transfer directly from Avdei Paro to Avdei Hashem. On the night of the Seder, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not treat us and designate us as Avadim. He designated us as Banim, as children. Rashi says that the translation of Ufasachti, I passed over, is not ufasachti. One opinion is v'chamalti. I had rachmanis on you. What does it mean, well, I had rachmanis on you? I had care, compassion, love, ahava. Rashi's other expression of ufasachti, to pass over, is vidilagti, I skip. Vidilidaleg, vidiglo is the same word, daleg and degel, vidiglo alai ahava. There was a love. That's more than an eved. Im kibonim, im ka'avonim, aka'avodim. We say in Tishrei, we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as, you know, maybe bonim, but at least avodim, as servants. Avadim don't have love and an emotional, deep bond with their employers, with their masters. But on the night of the Seder, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not say to us, Avodai Atem. He did not say that. He said, Bini Bechori Yisrael. You are my firstborn child. Makas Bechoros, this was the Yisod that my Rebbe Rav Moshe Stav in Keren Biyam, all those years ago, I still remember he developed this Yisod at length, this fundamental point. On the night of the Seder, Makas Bechoros is different because the first Makos were teaching the Egyptians. You guys should know, I am God, I'm involved in the world, I'm aware of what's going on, and I will interfere. But Makas Bechoros is different. Makas Bechoros, we prepared for Makas Bechoros. We did the Korban Pesach. We did the Milah. Because for the other Makos, we didn't have to get involved because it wasn't really about us. But Makas Bechoros was. Makas Bechoros is the demonstration of the Bechira, of the chosenness of the Jewish people, as the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Bechorim, as Bnei Bechori Yisrael. And for that, we're going to have mitzvahs all over the place. Anytime you're going to find a Bechor, even a Bechor Behema Temeya, even a Chamor, that's going to be a reminder. Every Bechor says only one thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I only have one Bechor. Li kol Bechor. Who is my Bechor? The Jewish people. An Eved, a servant, he does the will of his master, Be'echreach. It's Tshuva Meira. We do it because we have to. If we don't do it, we're going to suffer the consequences. But a Ben, a son, he doesn't do Tshuva Meira. This is Nisan. Nisan is Tshuva Me'ava. It's Shira Shirim. It's Ratzon. It's a family connection. The Jewish people, when we left Egypt, we did not transition from Avdei Paro to Avdei Hashem. We transitioned from Avdei Paro to Bonim Lamakom. That's why there are so many parallels. The Medrash talks about Goy Mikerev Goy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu birthed us one nation from another, and the Medrash gives the example like birthing a calf from out of a cow. That's how we were taken out. Goy Mikerev Goy. Then there's even the water breaking at the sea. There's a lot of images of the birth of the nation. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kivyachol our mother, and we are the Peter Rechem. We are the firstborn child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the pshat, now we have a whole different understanding of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a firm commitment. And that's unrelenting. Whether we like it or not, excuse me for saying it, the Navi says, but Bechem Shvucha Emloch Aleichem. Hashem says, I will be your God, whether you like it or not, because you are Avodim. Yes, that's true. We go from being Avdei Paro to Avdei Hashem. But on the first point, being Avdei Hashem, that's the greatest thing in the world. That's the most freeing experience, an inner freedom to be connected with God, to have all those opportunities. It's incredible. But on the other hand, we're not just Avodim. Hopefully we have this aspirational sense, and that's what we're trying to set out for ourselves on the night of the Seder, that Yetzias Mitzrayim set us up to be Bonim Lamakom, to be children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we go back to our four kashas, our fear kashas. We said on the night of the Seder, Hashata Avdei Lashana Haba B'nei Chorin. Yes, we are still Avodim, and next year we're going to be B'nei Chorin. We're Avodim because we're stuck in Olam Hazeh, where we have lots of influences that are pulling us in different directions. We are stuck without Mashiach. We have Shibud Malchios. So even though we are physically Avodim, but on the other hand, Rav Kook says, we could still be B'nei Chorin, because we could still be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to our inner selves. And now we're saying even more. We are the ultimate B'nei Chorin, because even if we're Avodim, quote-unquote, because we're trapped in the Shibud Malchios in this world, in this Golos that we're in, but even with that Golos inside, we feel like we're Bonim Lamakom. So Avdus is on the outside, but Bonim Lamakom and Cheres is on the inside. And now we understand why the mitzvahs of Kadesh, Likol Bechor, and all these Bechor mitzvahs are crucially centered right in the middle of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right with Makas Bechoros, because that's what distinguished Makas Bechoros, and that's what's going to remind us Ledoros, that's what's going to be in our tefillin, that's what's going to remind us every single day for future generations. Ki Yishol Chabincha, when the children ask these strange mitzvos, it's because we need to tell our children that we are not just Avadim, we are Banim Lamakom. That was the goodbye message from Yetzias Mitzrayim. We understand now that Choras al Aluchos, that Mishnah, is because that is essential to our being. That's what spiritual freedom is. It's being true to ourselves, and we are spiritual beings. And now we can understand how, on the one hand, we say, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, we are Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the same time, we are B'nei Chorin. Because that Avdus is B'nei Chorin, and there's the higher level of being Banim Lamakom. Each one of us has that connection. When we're going to sing the Shira on the night of the Seder, when we're going to sing Hallel, yes, we're going to be singing as Avadim, because we are unquestionably committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that sense, we're still Avdei Hashem, and that's an expression of freedom. But we're going to be singing it as Banim Lamakom, as one of the Svarim, as from Rav Chaim of Lunshitz explains it, that we are singing, sitting al Shulchan Melachim, who is our Father, Avinu Malkeinu. Whereas in Tishrei, on Rosh Hashanah, we are more focused on the Yira of Malkeinu. On Pesach, we're thinking about Avinu. This is the key takeaway we want to leave our Seder with. The idea that we are B'nai Chorin, we are free because we are the children of Hashem. Because we are the children of Hashem, we have that incredible bond of love and connection. Halavai, we can nurture that together. Thanks everybody for coming. It's wonderful to see all of you virtually. Feel free, if it worked, if it didn't work, just to send me an email afterwards if you prefer last week's a medium of learning or this week's. I'll be in touch, Amir Tzashem, with the link for next week. Have a good week. Stay safe. Be well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give all of us a Yeshua.